God wants to use the message today, and he has a purpose for it. And so I hope that you're willing and you're ready to hear the message that God has for you. One of the things I would encourage you to do, and many times we can come to church and, I mean, everybody's prepared, hopefully. I mean, our band's prepared, everybody's prepared. My question to you maybe is, are you prepared? A lot of times, you know, we come to church and you don't get anything out of it, or we say, you know, the preacher wasn't on today, or music was okay. Well, here's what I've learned about that. If I'll prepare my heart myself, then I'll get something out of even sorry preaching. Are you with me? I'll get something out of even, you know, worship that maybe they didn't have all the right chords, right? You know, didn't sing with as much passion or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm asking you as members to prepare your heart. Every time you walk through these doors, pray and say, okay, God, I want you to speak to me today. Speak to my heart. Change me today. I'm not coming in with expectations of, you know, the preacher doing this or doing that or the band even doing that. I want to hear from you. And you prepare your own heart, because that's what keeps us a lot of times from not hearing from God. It's not that the band didn't do good or maybe even the preacher didn't do good. It's because we didn't prepare our hearts. And so I'm asking you to do me a favor by doing that and pray for me. Pray for the band. Pray that for all the volunteers, please, because we actually obviously need that. And so last week I started a series called Chores. Amen. Chores, how to be ready when Jesus returns. And last week I shared a story about my two sons. I have a seven-year-old. He's actually getting a little taller. I keep doing like this, but they're actually getting taller. They're growing. But I have a seven-year-old Hampton and a nine-year-old Hank. And it's funny how they, you know, their attitude is different toward chores. I mean, Hampton, he's learning to love chores. I don't know that he ever will love them, but he's learning to love them. And so his attitude is changing, hopefully, and he doesn't really look forward to them as much. But Hank, on the other hand, he would rather quit school at 9 years old and get a job. Anybody with me? I mean, he's like, man, I don't want to go to school, Dad. I just want to get a job. He loves doing chores. He's the kid, again, that, you know, volunteers to do more rather than trying to get out of it. And one of the chores that they have, obviously, is taking care of their pigs. They got to show yesterday at the county fair here at Woodward, and I'm proud to say, and I'll brag on my kids all day long, my daughter, Madeline, won the showmanship out of all the goats, yeah, out of all the ages, high school, didn't really matter. My son Hampton, again, the peewee, he won the showmanship in his class, the peewee class. And then Hank won the showmanship in his class. So all my kids won showmanship. Yeah. So I'm proud of them because the work, again, the hard work at home shows in the ring. And I'm very proud of him. My son Hank, it was so funny because he's never won anything. Madeline always won with the goats, and now he's got his own pigs, and he won. And he got one of those little rolling ice chests, you know, it says, you know, champion, showman, you know, or whatever on it. And when he got it, he was walking out of the arena, or the ring, show ring, and he shook his butt like that. He went, yes! And they got a picture of it. And so they posted it on, like, the tourism deal, and I'm like, that is awesome. I thought he was like Luke Branquino. Anybody heard of Luke Branquino, the steer wrestler? Every time he makes a good run, he tips his hat, and he does that at the NFR. So my son's taking after Luke Branquino. But anyways, so, again, just like they – here's the thing. Just like my kids, you know, they prepare, they work hard, and they're eager to get to the show so that they can show off their pigs and impress that judge. Here's the deal. Here's what I've said, and I said this last week. There is a show coming, and it's going to be a show like we've never seen before. And there's going to be a show ring in the sky where we're going to get to meet the one and only judge, and he's going to judge every one of us. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus coming back. Jesus is coming back, and he is going to return, and he is going to rule the world. And I don't know if you're ready for that, but I hope that you are. And that's the question that we've been trying to answer is, how do we get ready? And the thing we learned last week was this. We learned that it's all about having a right attitude. And number one was this. We should be eagerly, you know, or we should eagerly look forward to Jesus' return. Eagerly look forward to. Again, so many people fear it. So many people have mixed feelings about it. But God says, I want you to eagerly look forward to my son coming back. And you say, well, What's the benefits to eagerly looking forward to it? Well, we looked at them. I mean, those of us, you know, that know Jesus, those of us that expect him to come and are ready to him, you know, for him to come, Jesus says, you know, I'm gonna give you some rewards. He's gonna give us a prize. Remember that? The crown of righteousness. We're gonna receive a crown of righteousness. We get to go home. Again, the house that you live in is a rental. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. And you're going to get to go home when Jesus returns. You're going to get a new body. Amen. 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 It's going to be a glorious body of abs and nice, you know, lats and pecs. Anyway, so we're going to get new bodies. We're going to get, you know, to meet Jesus himself, our Savior and Lord. And so those, you say, why should I be eager to him coming back? Well, it's going to be a great event, and we are going to receive things like we've never received before. And so we should be eager about his return. Today I want to, again, continue answering the question, what should we do or what should we be doing to be ready for Jesus's return? And number two is this, if you're taking notes. Number two is this, Jesus should find us doing our chores. You say, well, how do I get ready? How do I make sure I'm ready? Well, Jesus should find us doing our chores, right? I'll give you an example. If you're like the normal kid, and I don't know if girls are like this, maybe it's just a guy thing, but if you're like the normal teenage boy or even young kid, and my kids show this as well, then if it has to do with fire, you're in. Anybody with me? I mean, think about it. How many girls you like playing with fire? Any girls? Like one, Paisley, right over here. So how many boys or men, how many of you guys like playing with fire? Boys, men, raise your hand. Yes. I mean, I'm just telling you, I think it's a guy thing, but if it has to do with fire, it's kind of a, you know, we want to play with it. We want to put turtles in it. Anybody ever been in a camp and a turtle walks by and you're like, hey, let's see if it'll burn. That's mean. Kids don't do that. Don't do that with frogs either. Don't tie M80s to frogs. Anybody ever done that? Come on, please. I'm just telling you. Okay, so those are boy things. But anyway, so fire. So I had a chore growing up, and maybe you guys don't get to do this anymore, but how many of you guys grew up burning your trash in a barrel? Anybody grow up burning your trash in a barrel? Anybody burn your trash now in a barrel? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you guys do. So here's the thing. I had that chore growing up. And so we would take our trash, and I would take the trash, and I would, you know, haul it out there. I'd put it in the barrel, and obviously I'd light it. And then we had one of those, you know, remember the grills that, you know, you kind of put on your grill to grill your, you know, whatever. We put it on there to keep the, you know, stuff from coming out. Well, one time I took the trash out, and, you know, and back in the day, I don't know if ladies still use aerosol cans for hairspray. Anybody know where I'm going with this? So I took the trash out, and I put all the trash in the trash barrel, and I lit it, and I didn't put the grill back on, you know, the trash can to keep stuff from flying out. And my mom's aerosol can was in there, her hairspray aerosol can. So it came out, poo, it blew out and landed in the chicken house and burnt the chicken house down to the ground. So needless to say, I learned a hard lesson. Because, again, so I got a new chore, which was find all the aerosol cans when you dump the trash to not let them be in the trash. And so I learned that, but I look forward to doing that chore. You know why? Because I got to play with fire. And that's every kid's dream. I mean, we all want to stoke a fire. We all want to do that. Well, here's the thing. Jesus says, hey, I want you to be eager. I want you to be ready, and I want you to be doing your chores. Look at Luke chapter 12 with me. It says this. And Jesus is talking, and listen to what he says. He says, be dressed for what? Service. And keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. And then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be what? They'll be rewarded. I tell you the truth. He himself will seat them, put an apron on, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are what? They're ready. Are you with me? Jesus says, hey, You know, just like a master that comes home from a wedding feast, you need to be dressed as a servant of God, as a follower of God. You need to be dressed for work. You don't need to be sitting idle. You need to be ready. You need to keep the fires burning and keep doing what God has asked you to do so that when He returns, guess what? You're doing your chores. Or you even have your chores done and you're ready for His return. And guess what He says? He says, hey, if you'll do that, I will relieve you of your chores. I'll let you sit down and I will serve you. Can you just imagine this with me? I mean, Jesus comes back. I'm doing my chores. And Jesus goes, hey, man, I got you. You sit down. And Jesus actually puts the apron on and says, hey, let me serve you. I don't know if you get that picture or not, but that is an amazing picture. Because you know what He is? You know who He is? He's the King of Kings. And He says, hey, I want to serve you if you're serving me. To me, that's the greatest reward that we could ever receive is Jesus serving us. And so He says, I want you to be ready. I want you to, you know, to have your chores ready. And so here's the thing. My kids, obviously, they don't remember certain things just like I don't remember certain things. So I have to make a list of the chores that they have to do, right? I'll show you a picture. Here's a picture on our fridge that says this, trash. So Madeline Jeanette, gets Sunday and Monday. Hank gets Tuesday, Wednesday. HB, which is Hampton, he gets Thursday, Friday. The morning routine, brush your teeth, do your chores, breakfast, quiet time. In other words, you know, spend time with Jesus in the Word, reading your devotional on, you know, the kids app on your iPod or your whatever, and then you get to play. That was our summer routine. Yeah? How's that sound? Some of you guys are going to take that idea and you're going to put that one on your fridge. And so we have to list what they do. To keep going, I've got another couple pictures. So here's the feeding list for Watson, Bandito, and Ignite. And so all that stuff, you may not make sense, but two scoops of this, one scoop of this. And so they know their chores on how to feed their own animals. And so when they say, hey, Dad, what's my chores? I don't have to say anything. All I got to do is say what? Read the list. Keep going. I got another list. This one's for Hampton. Hampton, chickens, water, feed, and throw out scratch. Lemon, which is our basset hound. Water and feed. Pigs, spray the pigs with water at noon. And again, these were summer chores because it was hot, right? So you say, well, how do they know what chores to do? Well, we've made a list for them. You say, well, what's the point? Well, God has made a list for us, and it's found in His Word. Right? He's made a list for us. You say, how do I know what my chores are? How do I know what He wants me to do? Well, you have to enter into the world of God's Word. God's Word is our list. And I'm telling you, there are thousands and thousands of chores in that list. And today, obviously, I don't have time to list every chore that He could possibly call you to do. And so I'm going to give you some, you know, some broader things that I believe God has called us to do for chores. You ready? The first one is this. We've been given an eternal chore. We've been given an eternal chore. Look at 1 Peter 2. It says this. It says, but you are not like that. For you are what? A chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can what? Show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are what? God's people. Here's the point. God has chosen you and given you an eternal chore. And you say, well, what is that chore? Well, it's to love Him and to do good. Love Him, like the Bible says, and love your neighbor by doing good to them. And you say, well, I don't know that I'm called to do that. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that is your eternal call in life. That is your eternal chore in life. And some of you guys are here today and you're like, man, I don't know that I've ever been chose to do really anything. I mean, back in the day when, you know, you got picked for the ball, you know, you're out playing yard ball or whatever, and, you know, they're picking teams and they got two captains and they're choosing, like, you know, Joe, I'll take Joe, and then the other guy gets, I'll take, you know, Jim and all that. You're the guy, or you're like me, you're the person that got chose by default at the very end. Anybody with me? Come on. You're like, yeah, so you're the only one left, so you're on his team. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we are the ones that, again, we don't get picked for anything. We get passed up for that promotion at work. We never are the teacher's aide. I never made the teacher's aide. We're never, going to lead drills on the football team. We're never going to get chosen for that. But here's what I want you to hear today. You ready? Listen to this. God has chosen you. I want you to hear that, because some of you guys are like, I'm not worthy. God doesn't have nothing for me. No, listen, God has chosen you. He has picked you for his team. He says, I have chosen you for an eternal call, an eternal chore. And if you, I'll use an example on a TV show. If you were on the show The Voice, guess what? God's going to turn his chair for you every time. Are you with me? His chair is already turned because he's hit the button and he says, I choose you. You're on my team. I am picking you. I need you. You are equipped to do what I've called you to do because of me. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a perfect will for your life. And I've called you to do some amazing things that are going to make an eternal difference in the kingdom of God and the lives of others. And you say, what does that mean? Well, here's the powerful truth. All you have to do is get started working. Again, so many people are like, man, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I don't know if I'm called to do this. No, you are called. And if you'll get started working, listen, here's the cool thing about God. He'll finish the work. Just like he says, hey, you come when I come back, I'll finish your job. You just be working, and then when I get there, I'll finish it. Guess what? He says that about everything that he starts in our lives. Every calling that he's called you to, guess what? You start it, he'll finish it. Look at Philippians 1:6. It says, and I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Are you with me? He says, I got a calling for you. It's an eternal calling. And you just get started on it, and then I'll be there, and I'll back you up, and I'll take it to the house. I don't know if that excites you, but it excites me. Because it's an amazing thing that if I'll just do what he's called me to do, I'll love him, and I'll do good to others, and I will love my neighbor as myself, then he says, hey, I'm going to come in, and I'll finish that work for you. But here's the thing. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, again, this eternal calling, I think it's for the spiritual elite. I think it's for pastors and staff and all those other things. Here's what I want you to hear. The calling, that eternal calling or that eternal chore is for everyone who knows Jesus. Everyone. If you know Jesus, you have an eternal call on your life, an eternal chore to do for the Lord. And so we've been chosen to do some eternal chores. Here's the second thing. We've been given some temporary chores. And you say, well, I don't know about what's that mean? Well, I was a youth minister for 16 years of my life. And then, praise God, he called me out of it. I'm just kidding, teenagers. I love you from a distance. No, I'm just kidding. But I was a youth minister for 16 years, and I'll never forget it because I didn't want to be a youth minister even when I started. But God said, "Hey, I want you to be a youth minister," and then he, used me, and we had some amazing ministries and all that fun stuff, and I began to love it, and I loved it for 16 years, and I really did. I loved it. But then God said, "Hey, I'm going to turn your heart. I'm going to give you a new chore. I'm going to have you lead people. I'm going to have you lead adults." And he called me to be a pastor. There are other chores that I've had. I used to lead the worship. Some of you guys maybe don't know that. Used to lead the singing. I used to lead the guitar and play the guitar and sing. And I did all that for 16 years as a youth minister. And then when we started the church, I did it here. All those things. But here's what God said. God said, hey, Bo, I'm done with you on that chore. I need David to step in. I need the other band to step in. And they're going to take it to a whole nother level. And they have, haven't they? Amen? But God said, amen. Marcia, yes. But God said, hey, I have a temporary chore for you to do. And some of you guys are like, well, I don't know what my temporary chore is. Well, I'll give you an example. Some of you are called to foster children. Some of you. I know of some of you that have taken in children for a season, and God has called you to do that. And I know that's hard. I know that's not always easy. But can I just tell you, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. It's not, I mean, it is an eternal, you're making an eternal difference through a temporary chore. Are you with me? And so some of you guys are called to do that for a season, and God's called you to do that. Some of you guys, maybe you need to, answer the call to work in our Ranch Kids ministry. Some of you guys, you have children, in Ranch Kids, and God is saying, hey, I want you for a season while your kids are, being invested in, I want you to volunteer for the Ranch Kids ministry and invest in some other kids as well. Maybe God's called you to join the band and talk to David and say, hey, I want to sing. I want to do this. I want to do that. Maybe God's called you to share your faith with an individual and he wants you to do that. And when you do that, obviously they get to know the Lord and they come to know the Lord. And it was a temporary chore, right? So God has called us to do certain things that are eternal, but then, and I say that, he's called us to obviously be a witness for eternity, but we have temporary chores that God calls us to do, and then he says, hey, I want you to change. I want you to do something different. Again, it may be going on a mission trip for 2 weeks with our church someday. When we plan mission trips, you go, and that's a temporary chore. God says, I want you to go, and you do it with obviously a desire to serve other people. Again, these are temporary assignments that God has you doing for a season. And then God may say, hey, I'm done using you in that chore. I want you to start another one. So we've been given an eternal chore. We've been given some temporary chores. And then the last one is this. We've been given daily chores. Daily chores. And you say, well, what is that? Well, here's the thing. We've been called to daily do things, obviously, for the Lord. Every time we get up, we're called to enter into, maybe our quiet time and read his word. That's a daily chore. Maybe you're called, obviously, all of us are called to pray every day, to give our hearts to Jesus and to worship him. I mean, that's a daily thing that we're called to do. But here's what I've learned. The majority of the daily chores have to do with our eternal call to love others and love God. Because why? Because we deal with people every day, right? I mean, you go to work every day. And so you say, well, what's my daily chore? Well, it's to do good to other people in Jesus' name. I'll give you an example of this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this. It says, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, again, we're temporarily here. And we're going to go, heaven is our home. But as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to what? Live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable what? Behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. You say, what is my daily chore? Well, it's to live properly amongst your neighbors that maybe don't know Jesus. Did you catch that? And again, and you may not believe this, but I'll let you in on some secrets, okay? At Thousand Hills, obviously many people, they may look at our church and go, man, you guys got it all together. I mean, that church is rocking and rolling. I mean, those leaders at the church, I mean, they never make mistakes. I'm being facetious, by the way. But a lot of people, they look at our church and they don't deal with the issues that all these other churches do. And their church probably doesn't get criticized in any way. Can I just tell you? We do. And I'm just letting you in on that little secret. But let's be honest. We get judged all the time, really. There's seasons of it. But here's the thing. I'll give you a few examples. Some people have said, we're just a side ministry. We're just a side ministry. We're not a real church. We don't, you know, do things like a real church would do. And so we're just kind of a side ministry. I've been accused when we first started the church, I was accused of leaving, the Christian church and joining the Catholic church, and I was going to be a Catholic priest. It was weird. I mean, I don't know where that came from. We've been accused of being a cult. Not a cult like a horse, but a real cult like David Koresh. We've been accused of, of not being conservative enough. We've been accused of stealing our own stuff and going on vacation on the money that we made from stealing our own stuff. Accused. I had a gal write me a letter one time and said I was preaching from the wrong version of the Bible. I mean, again, we get criticized. And so you say, well, what's the point? Why are you going there? Well, here's my answer. You ready? Here's what we try to do for the past 7 years, and we're going to try to do until Jesus returns. You ready? We are going to be consistent in the chores that God has called us to do so that we can reach more people for Christ. Amen? You say, have you tried to defend yourself? Have you tried to, make them, feel differently about you? And at times, honestly, I probably have. At times, it's probably ticked me off. But here's what I've learned. People, they care less about what we believe, and they care more about how we behave. And so what we've decided to do here at Thousand Hills is no matter what we get accused of, no matter what wrong thing they accuse us of, or maybe even right thing that they accuse us of, we are going to do the chores that God has called us to do. And you say, what are they? We're going to ride for His brand, right? We're going to ride for the unchurched. We're going to tend to our own people. We are going to give generously, and we're going to ride new trails. And here's what I've learned. If we will stick to these chores, they can accuse us of doing something wrong, but our behavior will show them otherwise. Are you with me? And you say, what's the behavior? We're going to forgive them when they wrong us. We're going to love them even when they tell things that aren't true. We're going to forgive them when they, believe the gossip at the coffee house or at the salon. We're going to forgive them for those things, and we're going to embrace them. And those people are welcome in our church. And we're going to show them the love that God shows us every time. And if we, again, I say every time, I may lose it every now and then. But some of you guys are like, oh, I thought you were spiritual. You don't lose it. No, I lose it, okay? But I usually lose it in my own home, and no one ever sees, hopefully. But we're going to do that because we want to reach people, again, which is our daily calling, our daily chore. We want to reach people through our honorable behavior, not just what we say we believe. And so that's what we've learned, is through our love, through our compassion, through our generosity, we can win the world by what we do. What we do and what we do daily. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for God has called you to what? To do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, He is your example, and you must follow in His steps. Again, God has called us to daily chores, and the most of those wrap around loving people, loving the unchurched, loving the church, loving people around us, and doing good for them so that we can increase the population of heaven. Here's the thing. We're going to close a little different today. I'm going to ask the band to come. You guys come on up. There's a song that many of you guys will recognize, and I'm going to ask them to come sing this song for you. And it's an amazing song that maybe helps us recognize that one day, guess what? One day we're going to be done with our chores, and we're going to get to go to heaven. Amen? And we're going to get to see those that have gone before us. And so this song speaks to that. And so listen to this.
If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not gonna let you down. Darling, wait and see. And between now and then, till I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me.